All right, so let's try again. Welcome to episode 101 of the Ninja Consultant Podcast, recorded live at New York Comic Con 2011, which in fact is the year that New York Comic Con returns to its roots of being an apocalyptic success of a convention. Someone is yelling directly behind me. All right. We're in the anime main stage, which is where I had my panel on Friday. It's an incredibly horribly loud acoustic space, but I think this Moranskit will do pretty well. But the first year of New York Comic Con was the tremendous disaster success where, like, fire marshal was called, people were locked out of the con for an hour at lunchtime, nobody could move, it was so crowded, and then they knew they had to move to a bigger space. This year it's back to its roots of being horribly loud horribly large and, like, unsafely crowded in a sort of disastrous way, where I should have even been able to tell on Thursday was just pro day, and they opened up pro day to 4-day pass holders. Pro day was far more crowded than it usually is, and I usually enjoy Pro Day the most because it's just quiet and I go around and talk to old coworkers. This year's Pro Day was more like an actual con day, like a low traffic Sunday kind of, and it was annoying and crowded. And I have Noah here. Noah missed Friday of the convention, but he's here for the Apocalypse Saturday, where even when we arrived at like 4 p.m., there was knots of really unsafe line management going on. What are your impressions here, Noah?
New York Times said that they were expecting 100,000 attendees. I don't know. I guess this could be 100,000 people. I don't know. What can I say? Comic-Con, not really my thing. I don't like this convention.
This is going to be episode 101, because we're planning something special for episode 100. But so far today, we went to the Super Jail panel, which was ridiculous, and then followed by the Eagle Heart panel, equally ridiculous. Oh, but yesterday I had an experience where I went to the Madoka Magica screening, and they had passed out some goodies in advance, and two sort of overweight otaku guys, well, at first it was four guys, were like wrestling over this one t-shirt, and then these two guys like wouldn't give it up and were like about to get seriously hurt. They kept fighting over it, like right in front of where I was sitting, and people started shouting for security because it looked like someone could get seriously injured on the cement floor. And finally Mikkel, who used to write for Anime News Network, came over and like shouted at them in an authoritative way until they broke it up. And it turned out one of the guys was actually sitting like really close to where, like one seat over from me. His finger was sort of cut, and he kept dabbing at it with a Kleenex. It didn't look particularly serious, but no one from the convention came to stop them, even though it was like getting unsafe. There was no security appeared, and no like con staff. I also felt really bad. Like maybe I should have been more responsible as a member of the anime community by somehow stopping them myself when something unsafe was unfolding in front of me. Like, it was really rough. And also, how could it possibly be worth it for that shirt? I don't even... Whatever. So I watched the first episode and a half of Madoka Magica, and it was trippy and weird and whatever, but the opening credits were, like, wildly inappropriate, and I hated the opening credits. Where it's like, oh no, a cat is biting off my panties, basically. I also watched it with a TA who I work with, and so that was also like awkward, like with a much younger coworker. It's like, yep, I review fetish porn as a side job. That is my hobby. Can't wait to watch the latest fetish porn from Japan. I'm just not even going to call it anime anymore. I'm just going to call it fetish porn if Madoka Magica is the way everything is going. I mean, there were some good, you know, artistic elements and background stuff going on, and I'm sure I'll like the rest of the series, but the opening credits are beyond the pale. But not the most crazy thing I've seen. But yeah, we went to the Eagle Heart is a live-action Adult Swim show starring Chris Elliott. Am I even getting his name right? Who you might remember from such terrible movies as Cabin Boy. But no, he used to have a sitcom in the 90s. Do you remember what it was called? Not ringing a bell. It was a really, really weird sitcom, though, and we have a friend who is like a big fan of it. So we watched Eagle Heart when it came on Adult Swim, and it's like a parody of Walker, Texas Ranger, but it's like a really fast-paced 15-minute show with a lot of blood spray and a lot of like really insane logic and aliens and things happen and whatever, like...
On Walker, Texas Ranger.
Right. So they got a season 2, I guess, and their panel was pretty funny. Like, not so much Chris Elliott, but like the head writer of the show. He would describe the plots in a really deadpan way, like, this is the plot, but he'd be saying something so absurd that, like, the audience would crack up. Do you want to describe what you thought was the funniest gag?
I don't know. A really good pitch for his show. He was just running through different plot lines, most of which involved jewel heists and so forth. But apparently they're going to have a show in the second season about the... How did it work? The government kidnapping hobos to steal and weaponize their imagination. I thought that was pretty strong.
I like that they say that they didn't do any research to find out what rangers actually do, and so most of the show is about busting jewel heist and art thieves and things like that. And they also said, like, one guy asked a question, and he was like, I noticed that almost every single episode of season one, except for like three episodes, all start off in a warehouse. And that was like somehow cracking up the head writer as well. Where he's like, if you love warehouses, you'll love season two. But he said it in a more straightforward way. Or what was the other thing? Adult Swim acquired the show from the Warehouse Network. Yeah.
Clever. Pretty funny. Funny show.
And Noah almost never laughs, so. Never smiles, never says.
Not true. That is not true at all, and you know it. In fact, I think I'm a very affable character.
You never laugh at my jokes. Sometimes.
That's because you can't tell jokes. But I do frequently laugh with you.
I see. Now he's patting my knee in a comforting way. But, yeah, recommend it. The big gag in that particular thing was like the death fist where Chris Elliott punches someone. He does a really stupid-looking fake martial arts dance kind of maneuver. And then punches someone once, and then just explode in, like, the most ludicrous, like, blood spray of After Effects and stage blood that is, I don't, today's technology, they get it so they can really blow up a helicopter on a low-budget show, you know?
Yeah.
I looked in one of the clips on their highlight reel, there was, like, a big pink helicopter that I think said horrors on it, and it was just exploding, and that was, like, in a reel of explosions. Seems like a good time. But it's really, like, I think it really, Eagle Heart captures the early 90s, like, B action movie kind of scene with cops shooting each other and bad guys that are just thugs with no character, and the plot doesn't really make sense and doesn't really matter. Like, you know, all of those movies, like, that kickboxer movie.
Yeah, that kickboxer movie. Or that other movie about the elite military guy. No, I'm making fun of those movies, really, because there were a whole bunch of them. I guess you could see it on Cinemax, I guess. Cinemax would acquire all of these really cheap, generic B-movies.
Where there's always, like, a drug bust, like, almost like sub-Steven Seagal level, or maybe Steven Seagal and lower is what, yeah. And Eagle Heart really...
Aspire to be a Steven Seagal movie.
Right, like the level below that, like working their way up to a Steven Seagal action movie, where like the bad guy always like dresses in all black and has a ponytail, that kind of thing. Anyway, it's worth checking out. I have no idea what's going on the anime main stage, by the way. I think the panel in the background might be the long 2-hour Robotech block, but it doesn't, maybe not. Who knows? Do we want to see a clip from Robotech? Not particularly. Anyway, we'll try and get some other people on mic, see how everyone's been doing today. What? No? Not recording anyone else? Alright.
What? I don't know. I don't care.
You don't care.
Are you tired of podcasts that only cover anime and don't really cover manga?
Are you overwhelmed by the broad selection of manga at your local bookstore?
Are you also confused about trying to hide your manga from your parents or your significant other?
If so, then listen to us at the Shuriken Manga Review.
I'm your host, Zan.
I'm the co-host, Mason.
We provide information and give you reviews about manga. You can check us out at iTunes, Podcast Pickle, or spirekin.podbean.com.
Listen in now and win your free box of Pocky today.
Zan-san, away!
Hey, Zan, where'd you go? You can't make me do this promo alone. Zan!
Right, okay, talk about your podcast or whatever.
Okay, coolest thing ever. Spirekin Manga Review is a podcast where we bullshit about manga. Spirekin Movie Review is where we bullshit about movies. Spirekin Gaming Review is where we bullshit about games. And Spirekin Segue is just whatever the fuck comes to mind from...
Wait, did Segue not start yet? I thought you said you hadn't...
It hasn't started yet.
We have recordings of it, though. We have an idea, so we'll see what happens. But it's going to be pretty interesting when it gets done.
Because you have, like, an archive of... Okay, so what are your thoughts on... Have you been to New York Comic Con before, and what are your thoughts on this year's con?
Last year's con, for some reason, was a lot more hospitable to the press for some reason. This year, it just seems a little bit... They're a little more antagonistic towards us because, like, the... For example, is the Walking Dead Avengers panel. Last year, if you wanted to see something in IGN Theater, they'd be like, okay, you're press. We'll let you in through the side. Okay. This time, like, yeah, you don't have a bracelet. You're not one of the four people who are part of AOL or IGN. Get the fuck to the back of the line with all the other people and wait for 3 hours, and then you don't even get in.
I found in the past that press doesn't always get you into stuff at this con. But, like, it's kind of that way at San Diego where they're, like, they'll walk press through where they're, like, you're pressed, so you don't have to wait in line, but we'll walk you through to take some photos and then walk out.
San Diego is a completely different Comic-Con. I've done it several times. Actually, one of my good friends does it regularly. He's the guy, if you've ever gone to it, who has the actual metal Gundam, who built it, the guy from Texas.
And it's metal.
Yes, he built an exoskeleton frame and built a metal Gundam around the frame. He's gone to it several times. You may see him on occasions, but... You know, the San Diego Comic-Con is a completely separate Comic-Con from the New York Comic-Con.
Oh, no, I know. I've been to San Diego twice. But I think this Comic-Con wants to be San Diego, and this year it's really succeeding in being more like San Diego with the lines and...
Organization-wise, yes, but you still have a New York attitude, which means when you walk to the door, you got two responses. Either, damn, she's hot, you can get through, or fuck you, back in the line and put a paper bag over your face.
Yeah, the what
those
is it?
Are the responses.
Who is flipping out in Russian because he came all the way from Russia to cover this con and they wouldn't let him in. And he was like, I have the papers. They will not let me in. And I'm like, whoa, man, just calm the fuck down. Talk to the guy over there. Don't hurt me. And I'm a tall guy. And he was like a short, stocky man. But he's screaming in Russian. I'm like,
hey,
don't hurt me.
You've played Metal Gear. Don't fuck with the Russians. Or the Germans, for that matter. We will lose.
As long as you don't start a land war in Russia in winter. And you guys are part of this podcast too, right? Do you want to say?
Times. I did it once, you know. Once. No, once, because I was drunk. Remember Jack Daniels? I was totally drunk that night.
Yeah, that's twice. That counts as twice, then.
Once.
Well, just because you see double does not mean it's twice.
And you were wicked.
It was technically twice, because we did two podcasts that night. One I've released, the other one I'm saving for a special occasion. Maybe the Segue. I don't know yet.
But you're not local to here. You live somewhere else, right?
We live about an hour from here, upstate in the wonderful area of Orange County, New York.
There's an Orange County, New York.
Well, they're in Ulster, but just, you know, in the Orange...
Highland.
Sorry, Highland.
Yes.
Fuck you both.
Highland.
I live on the border of you two assholes.
So anyway, we're in the general area after Rockland, but before the fucking boonies by Alexandra and Rome, New York.
We live next to that one tree that's between the city and the boondocks. If you hit a swamp, you hit my house. If you're in the, you know, the sticky area, you hit Baz's house. If you see a house, you hit Zahn's house.
But if you hit the airport, you've gone too far.
And a skunk. That's the GPS out there for us.
If you lots of bread.
And avoid the pigeon, and you run into the skunk, then you know you definitely lost and shouldn't be there in the first place.
The scary thing is, by me, we have a lot of celebrities, including Armando Sante and, surprisingly, Orange County Choppers, Bill Murray, and, for some reason, Sam Wright from The Little Mermaid, who's a very angry man.
What the hell? But you see, you come to New York Comic Con every year. Is this New York? How is this New York Comic Con different so far?
So far, compared to last year, it's a little better, a little worse. Seems a little more organized because last year was like they kind of like, okay, we're kind of you're gonna make a line, then you're gonna wait. This year, it's like, okay, you got a press pass, get the fuck. You know, the line is you go over here. If you don't have a press pass, you're gonna go over there. If you have a VIP pass, you're gonna go over there. The panels themselves, I don't like that the fact they moved the anime festival all the way upstairs. It should have been downstairs again. I think it would have been better.
I agree with that. The only thing that I can really disagree with for this con is they changed the floor format a lot from last year. And I liked the floor format last year because you had all the anime stuff in one section, all the book authors and, you know, all your publishers in one section. You had your film festival downstairs. You had your panels downstairs. It was more organized last year, in my opinion. Besides that, the only real major difference I noticed is I got flashed twice.
Flashed.
There was a chick running around on the main floor who was being chased by security. I have a picture of the katana who actually pointed out the fact that the chick who flashed me's breasts were bigger than the katana's breasts. I don't know why, but she decided to take her shirt off and just run across the floor.
Like a streaker?
It's like being at a soccer game, you know, just whee! Gone.
Your leg, it only got two words for her.
Mortal Kombat!
You know, I got a DeLorean. My first con, I got a DeLorean. I'm so happy. They like the wheels invert and the
first
lights
on ever.
Wait, it's your first. Wait, really? Ever?
Well, no, not my first con, but my first Comic Con. I've been to conventions before.
Yes, like what kind of convention?
I went to Aresia, I went to Shore Leave, I went to Lunacon. You know, about
Aresia is really
years ago. Long time ago, yeah.
Aresia is like super nerdy sci fi stuff. I went once, but I haven't been again.
I like the Masquerade. Yeah, the one's actually a dance, not like this one where it's like, oh, we're going to, you know, do the shows and the costumes. No, this was a dance over at Aresia.
Oh, really?
There's rumors of something going on, a masquerade coming out in a couple of weeks somewhere in New York. I don't know where, though. And the actual dance masquerade where you have to pay to get in.
Don't bank on it.
What, it's not going to be? Here it's every year.
Yes, but from what I've heard from some of the people who said they're going to it, it's not going to be that great. There's a lot of people who did not sign up. Like, there was a couple actually decent names there last year, like, dance-wise, if you actually listen to, like, you know, street dancing, stuff like that. They're not going to show up this year because it's more towards the costumes this year than it is towards the actual, you know, just having fun and enjoying yourself.
So it's more like just, as you can guess, we go on a lot of tangents just randomly. It's like, ooh, shiny object. Squirrel.
That's what happens when
that's not random.
Gets mad about things. They have to make a whole big production out of it. We want our dance. We want our song. We want our masquerade. Bam. You got it.
I just tangent.
I don't know. I think that's enough. All right. I think we have to get home before the subways turn into nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A long swim.
Adventure time. Come on, grab your friends. We go to very distant lands. Take the dog and boom, 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 boom. The bump will never end. It's adventure time. So here we are, and it's Sunday at New York Comic Con. And we're back in the anime area with Evan Minto from your podcast, Anime Gamers.
Anime Gamers, yeah.
And, also, Noah, we just went to the Adventure Time panel, so we woke up really early to go wait in line. Like, we were like, we'll get there before, if we get there before 10, we'll definitely get in. And we did. We were, like, in the second row or whatever, and it was awesome. There's a lot of energy in the room. But there, so at this particular convention, there's, like, not a ban on signs, so Noah's just complaining about the free hugs signs. Noah, do you want to say something about that?
Well, the question is, why free hugs? Why not just hugs? Why doesn't it just say hugs? I want to ask these people.
I mean, most hugs are free, so the sign saying free hugs implies that some hugs are the kind you have to pay for.
No, it's exactly right. Why the remunerative aspect?
Like, what do you want from me if I'm going to hug?
It opens up the market for paid hugs, is what it does, which opens up a whole new, like, economy of hug payment.
If it's for free hugs, that economy would be undercut pretty rapidly.
Personally, pretty worried about hug piracy, just destroying the industry.
I only give away free hug samples. If you want to, if you want to subscribe, it's at least $12 a month.
A hug subscription? That's what I have.
I have a hug
subscription.
Cost about $70,000 a year.
Worth it.
Plus the cost of the wedding from the ground floor. So,
actually, I got hit in the throat with a, what was it? It was a free chest bump. Sign on my way up here. The guy like hit me in the throat. I was like, what does your sign say? Free chest bump.
Jesus.
Free throat punch.
I get free slaps. Anyway.
Free lawsuit. Asshole.
So it's pro bono is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's pro bono.
So anyway, what have you done at the con?
Well, there, to be honest, there weren't nearly as many events I wanted to go to as I thought there would be, but today I went to basically the Viz panel, and they announced some stuff that I would need to look up to make sure. I think they licensed Juju, which I don't know a ton about, and they licensed Rescued Loveless from Tokyopop, and they did some other stuff. They talked a lot about the Shonen Jump Alpha subscription service that they're setting up. And
oh, that's like the new one. I just read that press release where it's like you get a digital copy of Shonen Jump 2 weeks after it comes out in Japan, which I think is probably still too slow.
Yeah, but they're also phasing out the print copy, which is very important.
Oh, that's kind of bad for like school. I imagine like if I were a kid in school, I would be reading it in the school library.
Absolutely, yeah. When I was a kid in school, I was reading it like from buying it off of the Scholastic catalog or whatever.
Yeah, so that kind of sucks. I guess maybe the libraries will have some kind of digital subscription. I don't know. What else did they, anything else?
Not anything else today, but yesterday I went to, they had the Comic Scholarship Scholars Conference or something, and it was in one room, a whole bunch of panels with like people studying comics in an academic setting, and I went to one of those panels, and it was really cool. I wish I'd gone to more. It was one with like, for an hour, it was three separate scholars talking about their work. So the first one talked about this like psychology of how we read comics, so kind of related to Scott McCloud's theory of the different types of transitions between panels. But his theory is more about like hierarchy and the way that we read words, so that we like structure it into a tree. And he had all these tests where it's like you introduce a blank panel and see how much that disrupts reading at different parts of a comic. The second person talked about With the Light, the manga about autism and its effect on like autism awareness in Japan. And that one wasn't so interesting to me, but maybe that's because as a manga fan, I already know a lot of that. And then the third one was the most absurdly specific one, and it was a guy talking about female Native American depictions in comics and its effect on elementary school education.
Like in American comics? I mean, they don't really...
Well, I think he was talking about comics in general, but he basically just talked about superheroes. So it was even more specific.
Yeah.
Which
that
is,
seems...
What were the conclusions and what titles? We're talking about, like, from Super Friends, what's-his-face?
It's only female. I can't remember. I'm not a superhero guy. I can't remember the names. I might have written down some of the names in my notes, but I don't have my laptop open right now. But his conclusions was, like, it was more about, like, how to use... He used that as a frame to talk about how to use comics as a way to bridge different cultural gaps in a classroom. So to, like, use visuals and, like, encourage students to come up with their own stories and not be tied down by like ethnocentric stories. It was kind of a very odd presentation, but it was got me thinking a bit.
Huh. Sorry, I've just become distracted where I noticed the recorder says OV, and I don't really know what that means. I'm not going to worry about that right now. But you only came in on... You didn't see Friday. You just came in for Saturday.
I came in Friday night, and I was going to go to an event Friday night, but wasn't able to get my press pass in time, so I didn't do anything Friday. So just Saturday and Sunday.
And we got here kind of late on Saturday because we were sleeping in, and there wasn't stuff that we wanted to go to necessarily. It seemed overwhelmingly and horrifically crowded.
Oh, it's been really crowded the whole time. I've been getting pretty pissed off at a lot of people just standing around getting in my way, which happens at any convention, but it's particularly bad here.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I was sort of grumpy on Saturday and about to fly into like a fan rage at any moment, like just, you know, flying elbows and wanting to kill people. But I think...
I hold my bag up as a battering ram in the hopes that like if it's at groin level, like people will instinctively move away. Like, I don't want to hit them. I just want them to be afraid.
That's a pretty good method. I think there's a lot more people doing, like, line and crowd control than in previous years, but it's still not really enough. It's like, at Comic-Con, they always have, like, the taped-off areas and people who shoo you away and don't let you sit here and there and a very strict photography policy.
We need an express lane. So we need a lane for people who aren't looking at the art but are just going through the artist's alley.
That'd be good, like a taped off, don't stand in this aisle kind of section. Because, yeah, just getting back to this area is exceedingly difficult. Yeah, like I did actually see a con person yelling at some people photographing someone just now, like on the way over here, where they were like, I love you guys taking photos, but don't take photos right there. Because they were like blocking people coming out of a panel room. So I was glad that someone had a megaphone and was telling them no. I think if your costume is too good, you shouldn't, or too sexy, you shouldn't be allowed to walk through the passage between... Artist alley and the main con floor.
Yeah,
Why do you have free hug signs? Do you want to be on?
Spreading some love. Spreading some love.
We're looking to people's spirits.
Yeah.
But don't you think that implies that, like, some hugs are the kind you have to pay for?
No.
Like, all hugs are free.
Yeah.
All hugs are free.
Well, why don't you just have a sign that says hugs, then?
Well, because if we do that, people will hug us.
That's a good question, actually.
Because I'm only giving away free hug samples, but if you want a subscription, that costs a lot, like every month.
That's a subscription supply.
Lifetime supply.
Free refills.
Free refills.
Yep.
Hugs.
That's what the free stands for, free refills.
Yeah. I think if it's free refills, implies you have to pay for the cup.
How can we be sure that the quality is going to be high if it's free? Like, I know it's going to be high quality because I have to pay for the
situation.
You want to try one?
You want to try it?
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back.
Yeah.
You guys also look like you're under 18, so I don't think Evan's
18.
No, we're 18.
You're 18, okay.
We're young. We have to retain a neutral stance as journalists. We wouldn't want to bias ourselves.
Yeah.
We hold ourselves to the highest standards of hug journalism.
Yes, Asian.
Now we look young. Yeah. It's the Asian thing.
These guys look like they're 30.
This is how we get our customers, with these cute faces.
Yeah.
But I am over 30, so... Yeah, no, it's not just an Asian thing. I'm just saying. You guys are totally racist. That's weird, too.
Asian or something.
Not at all. So, is this your first convention?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is my second.
What do you think?
It's awesome.
Yeah,
amazing.
It's pretty fun.
It's amazing.
Like it.
Do you think it's, like, extra crowded? That doesn't, like, bother you? Or?
No.
Not really.
We're still having fun.
Like that.
We're still having fun.
More customers.
Yeah.
More money.
More hugs.
Yeah.
More hugs.
More hugs, more money.
More good.
Are you guys mostly here for the anime stuff, or are you here for the comic stuff?
Boom, half and half.
I'm for anime.
Anime.
I'm split half and half.
Yeah, same here.
What have you gone to? Like, did you go to any panels or events?
We went to, like, Doctor Who.
No.
Yeah.
Doctor Who, League of Legends.
No.
We went to, like, the Dragon Ball Z signing thing. Autograph, yeah.
Did you get an autograph? Like, did you have to wait a long time? Or?
I got Goku and Vegeta. And, like, I forgot the other guy's name.
Raditz.
Yeah. Raditz. Yeah.
How long did you have to wait for the autograph?
A long time.
Like several hours or?
No, not several hours. Like about half an hour, maybe a little longer.
Okay, that's not long at all. Like, we're...
Yeah, not long at all, yeah.
That's true. Like, because we've been to, like, San Diego Comic-Con where, like, for really popular panels, you have to wait in line for, like, 3 hours. Then you have to wait through three other panels that you don't care about and then the panel that you do care about. But, like, we waited for, like, a little over an hour for the Adventure Time panel, and, like, it was good because it filled up completely. But, like, that's not a San Diego wait quite yet. But in any case, do you guys have other thoughts about the... What's your favorite show that you're... Or what shows are you watching right now? Like, what anime?
Right now, I'm, like, trying to finish The Gray Man, and they've finished it.
Isn't there a bunch of filler?
Huh?
Isn't there a bunch of filler? Like, it doesn't follow the comic. I heard it wasn't very good, but... I only watched season 2, so I don't know.
I'm not sure. I read, like, the manga, but it's, like, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like the anime is really different because they ran out of manga or something like that. You know. What else? What are you guys watching?
I've been watching Bleach, so it's like I love.
That's it.
Yeah, Bleach.
It doesn't bother you when it goes off track, like.
I still watch it because there's so much action.
I only watched like the first 30 episodes, so I don't know. But like I heard something about vampires in a desert, and I was kind of not really interested. And what do you guys? You guys like?
They're awesome.
Love vampires. Like, what vampire titles besides Bleach?
I watched Twilight, so.
Those are not real vampires.
I started to watch True Blood, though.
Wait, why aren't the Twilight vampires real vampires? I thought they were real enough.
Yeah.
Not real because.
Huh? Oh, Kenneth.
Not real because they sparkle.
Yes, they're not real because they sparkle. Vampires are supposed to burn in the sunlight. That's how Dracula did it.
Wait, do the True Blood vampires burn in sunlight?
Do. Yeah. They do.
Yeah.
The True Blood vampires are more real than the Twilight vampires.
Yes.
It's actually much better.
It is.
And you said you like both comics and anime. So what, do you read both manga and superhero comics? And which?
I'm not really a big manga reader.
Just anime.
Just anime.
Recently I watched Durarara. That was great. I loved it so much. A while ago I watched Cowboy Bebop, another great one. I like the short animes. I don't like the ones that go on forever. Started watching Hitman Reborn. That was good. And
you're wearing like a Punisher outfit, right? So what American comics do you like?
Punisher, Deadpool, been to Iron Fist, some Batman, and...
Yeah, because like 4 or 5 years ago, I kind of thought when New York Anime Festival was separate from New York Comic Con, like, it seemed like there weren't a lot of fans of like both sorts of things, except, I mean, I have one friend who really likes both things. But I think this year, and it's been back together for a couple of years, that now there are more people, there's more of a crossover and a lot more to
be. It helps that a lot of the Comic-Con stuff isn't exactly comics. Like, the Adventure Time panel is something that a lot of anime fans, I think, are into because it's not American superhero comics.
Yeah, I pretty much spent the whole time going to, like, TV panels, and, yeah, there's a lot of TV stuff. You guys got any other thoughts?
I've only recently started watching Adventure Time, so I don't really have much to say, but it's an awesome show.
We've only watched the first season and a half.
What do you guys think about this anime section up here? Has this been easy for you guys to get to? Have you been hanging?
A lot easier than downstairs.
It should be bigger.
Have you been hanging out a lot up here?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
For the past 2 days.
Yeah.
We've made this our base of operations.
Pretty much. Yeah. Someone goes down, someone watches the stuff up here, we come back, and then eventually...
Off,
yeah, we switch
yeah,
off.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So you don't have to use the coat check that way. Corey, are you dressed as Light or someone... Okay, it is Light coming, but you're... Little, you look like a...
I know, the hair is bad.
It looks like Light with bedhead, kind of. Like, he's just gotten out of bed and his coat's a little rumpled.
But yeah, I just as Light this year because I'm a huge, huge Death Note fan, and Light Yagami is my favorite character in the series, so...
Really? I like L so much better.
L better, like... Alright, like, don't get me wrong, L is, like, a genius as well, but the problem I have with L in the series was that... The problem I had with him in the series was that he was always one step behind Light. Light never, like, showed any kind of nervousness or any of that when he was facing L. The second thing of why I like Light better...
No, I want to know.
The second reason why I like Light better is because Light, I find his idea of like, destroying all the criminals in the world and having a good and wholesome world, I find that amazing. You know, like, in some ways, he's an idol like that. In some ways, he's an idol like that. Maybe I wouldn't go that extreme, but it was interesting, like, that someone like that would do something with a Death Note, you know, something supernatural to kill criminals.
And how old are you again?
18.
Okay, because I do think, like, when I read it, I was like, yeah, that is what a teenager would probably do. But, like, it wasn't a surprise to me, but I understand. But I also think that, like, the author of the manga is wrong and that L is the main character. And after he's out of the series, I'm just not interested. Did you like the anime better or the manga or both?
I pretty much read the whole manga. I've seen a couple episodes of the anime. It's both pretty decent. They're both pretty decent.
Did you read them recently?
I recently finished them.
Because, like, 3 years ago, I want to say 3 years ago, like, it was, this, or any convention was just filled with, like, Light and L cosplayers, and, like, yeah. But you said it's only your second con or something.
First one, my first con with them.
So you totally missed the giant wave. Okay. I'll let you guys go. Here, let me get you.
Are you a shameless otaku who sits at home watching Japanese cartoons all day? Do you find yourself choosing Azeroth over the real world? Do you want to make super happy Moe-chan your waifu? If yes, then please talk to your doctor about Anigamers. With our patented combination of blogging, podcasting, and incoherent rambling, we can teach you the skills to be a better otaku. Anigamers can be found at www.anigamers.com, and you can also subscribe to our podcast through your favorite feed catcher at feeds.feedburner.com/anigamerspodcast, or find us in the iTunes Store. Side Effects may include news, reviews, interviews, debates, and discussion about anime, manga, and games, both old and new. In some rare cases, patients may experience uncontrollable laughter, crippling depression, or obnoxious levels of elitism.
They were nice kids. I'm glad someone can answer that question. I don't like Light.
I guess I like to hate him. You know, he's... I liked him. I liked the way he was written, but I did not like him, if that makes any sense.
I'd like to punch him. Yeah. I'd like to punch him or kick him in the nuts. Yeah, not cool. And it does kind of bother me to hear so many people, because there have now been a number of people who have said, "Wow, that's like a really novel idea. Like, let's just kill all the criminals. Like, that's really good." You know, man, I hope that you develop a little subtlety in your morality if you kind of need to really start to explore the human experience a little bit before drawing that conclusion.
I you got to give it time because it's like a story for teenagers, and they're not that complex yet, well, you know.
And I thought the story didn't really. I haven't seen the whole thing, but from what I've seen, it doesn't paint the picture that that's a great idea that everybody should support. But people watch it, and I guess, just see the surface level and go like, "Yeah, that sounds about right."
I think it has a really good story hook, and that's. You know, before any kind of morality play or whatever, it's just sort of like, oh, what a great concept.
Yeah.
And then and everyone is interested after that. And then people are just inherently immoral. So
those first two episodes I always would show to people, like, in high school, just because it's such a great hook, that, like, cat and mouse thing between Light and L. And that's what really, that's more the driving force than some sort of preaching about what is good and evil.
Yeah, it gets too wordy eventually. I meant to tell that other kid that he should definitely read Hikaru no Go because it's got the same artist, but I don't know if he would go for that necessarily.
I don't know, there's less blood spray in Hikaru no Go.
Still some.
There's more tears on the Go board.
Yeah, more tears, less blood. The same amount of sweat, actually. No, maybe a little less sweat.
There's blood on the Go board. But I think that's the extent of the...
Literally. There's literally blood on the Go board. That's kind of the hook of the series. It's a blood-covered Go board. But only Hikaru can see the blood. All right. We're at kind of halfway of battery. Do we have anything else we want to talk about or not?
Yeah, I got something to say. You made fun of me. You made fun of me before the Adventure Time panel for having a soft spot in my heart for tree trunks. And what happened? You're like, nobody likes tree trunks but you. And what happened? Everyone loves tree trunks. Like, three people were like, tree trunks is the best. What do you say to that?
What do I say? I was clearly wrong, because there weren't any tree trunks cosplayers basically ever. Like, I've never seen one. So I assume nobody really likes tree trunks, but there were, during the Q&A, someone was like, is tree trunks going to come back? Also, that was a really funny panel, where, like, the Creator Time Adventure is this beardo who looks like he's in his mid to late 30s. And he just answered questions where the people would be like, is so-and-so character going to come back? And he'd be like, yes. Or sometimes, no. Like, no, not at all. Or
whatever they wanted, pretty much, except for a crossover.
He just agreed to everything.
And he was like, yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
No, that sounds good.
What
yeah.
Sounds good. Sure. Let's do it.
But he looked like...
He's like the opposite of Tomino.
No, no, no.
Oh, right.
Yeah. He either wouldn't answer or would deny things.
Yeah, the Gundam creator was just like, no, no, next, no.
But he looks like a DM. He doesn't look like our DM, because our DM is, you know, bald and has no beard. But he looks like someone that you would see sitting in the back of the gaming store running a D&D session. I wanted to ask him just how much Adventure Time is really informed by D&D. But by the time I stood up, the line for questions was already back to the horizon, so I was too slow.
Yeah, in order to ask questions, you got to sit right on the aisle near the microphone so you can just hop up when they say, now it's Q&A.
Yeah, you'd think I'd be a veteran at this, but...
Also, your hamstrings are usually too tight, so you're scared of the speed.
Yes, that's true. I am an old man.
On my way here, I stopped at the... Or I just walked past, like, the Nico Nico Doga booth, which is right next to the Funimation one. And they were doing something really cool there, because I haven't really been on Nico Nico very much. But it was like, they had doing a live stream of some guy with a microphone just like talking and interviewing people. And then because it's Nico Nico, there are all the comments on it. And so you can stand there and watch all these people being like, Asuka, do a spin again. And it's like, everybody's got all these weird like comments. They're yelling at people. They're like, I love all the people in the background. Keep dancing around behind the interviewer. So that's actually a lot of fun. I just stood there for like 5 minutes watching all these comments.
That's weird, but it's also kind of creepy, because I've heard of, like, in the early days of the internet and video, there were like porn sites that were basically like live feed of a porn model, and you tell her to do stuff and she does it. And so like that starts to approach that line where it's like...
Well, it is well documented, right, that porn... is like the progenitor of all technological achievement.
Right, every advance in video, maybe not audio, but definitely like video and internet distribution.
Oh, I really wonder. I never thought about if there are like wax recordings of porn.
Early photography.
Yeah, I told you that Union soldiers carried mass-produced pornography with them in the Civil War. It was the first example of mass-produced photographs of any kind, I believe. That's the factoid.
look at some of the robots coming out of Japan, you can also see that, like, they're making the sex robots. That's what they're going for. And that's going to be where the robotics, like all the, like, AI, if we ever get robots that can act like humans, they will be coming from sex robots. There's already a robot with, like, a video I've seen on YouTube of it, like, it's dressed in a wedding dress, and it's walking down a runway, and of course it's from Japan, and that's where they're going with it.
Right, well, that's the logical conclusion, and people have already married their DS sim girlfriend and so forth. Which is very sad, and you know, I'm all for robot rights, but at this point, I don't know anyone who would marry a toaster is not getting the full experience of, you know, being human. It's sad to me.
If that toaster can't divorce you, I don't think you should be allowed to marry it. It should have, like, free will, you know.
That's a really good question.
Right, but a toaster.
A toaster can't object. A toaster can't really say I do and be like for sure.
Well, a toaster is an object, and that's just it. The toaster has no sentience. The toaster has no elan of the soul.
Right. So I'm saying your robot AI had better have a lot of free rein before it can agree to something and legally be bound to it.
But it doesn't.
It
doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt anyone except my heart. So I'm not discouraging the poor hikikomori in Japan from, you know, marrying their hug pillows. But I am. I'm saying don't do it, man.
You're telling them that they're bad people.
No, they're not. They're not. They're not bad people. They're. I wish I could help them. I wish I could make them feel, you know, more human, more able to be who they are in the world.
Maybe if you give them a free hug, it'll help.
I don't think free hugs are going to do it.
But I guess my assertion is like a modern kind of image of marriage that, like, you should, both partners should agree to be in it. And I don't think that, maybe that's something that only goes back a couple hundred years. Because, like, before that, there are, like, arranged marriages where it's not really up to the party. It's up to, like, your parents.
That's 100 years. That goes back about 70 years. Yeah.
Seven? No.
70. About
70. but, like, so the previous version of marriage should be what? It should be some kind of, like, economic arrangement by your families and the society and a cultural thing.
Right.
So if your parents arrange for you to marry a toaster, I'm just saying, it will help the family if you marry this toaster. And I picked one that I thought you would really like.
Except you have to wear this dress while you're doing it.
I don't know. Look, I'm just throwing thoughts at you.
Not to be too devil's advocate, but what about, like, a person who can't, what if a person was in, like, a vegetative state? They couldn't get married, right? Okay, so, like, that's your assertion that anybody, even if it's a human being, if they cannot show consent, then they cannot get married.
Right, and in the previous version, too, like, in a, you know, pre-100 years ago, what would be the point of marrying someone in a vegetative state anyway? They're not going to bring anything in your household, they're not going to bear you any children, like, there's no dowry you're going to...
Well, what's the point of marrying a Love Plus game?
Right, exactly, it's not doing anything...
To stop living in sin. That's why. To, you know, make it legal.
Wait, what?
Oh. We're going so roundabout.
Sorry. I'm sure in the future there will be plenty of people who prefer robots to humans for purposes of intimacy. I wish that were not the case, but clearly there is a demand, and clearly the demand will be filled, and it's probably, they're better off than they were, you know, 100 years ago.
The robots?
Well, not the robots yet, not until they can be sentient. Thankfully, the robots are blissfully unaware of the fact that they are married to neckbeards.
So they can voice an objection, being like, I think I could do better than you. That's rough when you ask your sim girlfriend to marry you, and she's like, you know, my standards are a little higher than that.
What if I made a robot that was only programmed to give consent to get married but couldn't really do anything else?
Then that's not really the same. Because it wouldn't... Well, you know, your robot has to be able to object to it. Like, if your robot...
I gave it a random chance of being able to accept or reject.
It's not. It has to be... A contract is a mutual agreement. It's a meeting of the minds. If there's no mind, there can't be a valid contract.
But you have to then define mind.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean,
It's just because thousands of years of philosophy has been unable to solidify a notion of mind doesn't prevent me from just asserting, you know, they're self-aware. It's fine with me.
So if I made a robot with, like, the brain capability of, say, like a two-year-old or something, that would probably fit the description.
I've heard adult chimpanzees have the same intelligence as, like, a three-year-old child. So maybe you want to aim for four.
Okay, just above the chimpanzees.
Right. At least a vocabulary of 1,000 and some words.
Well, but of course, you can't marry a two-year-old because a two-year-old is not a consenting adult. Because when you're 2 years old, you can't, there can't be a meeting of the minds.
I don't know if you tried to convince two-year-olds to do anything. They're really agreeable.
Half the time. The other half?
Sorry, there's like 10 of
them. No.
Oh, right. Actually, two-year-olds say no constantly. Like, yeah, that's true. They're just always like, no. Do you want candy? No. Wait, yes.
So when we have an actual artificial intelligence that is self-aware enough to have its own Elan of the soul, which is something that we may actually, I am wholly unconvinced. I think that, you know, I've often said that there's no reason why human beings can't outlive the heat death of the universe, because, you know, based on the whole weight of human history, we've survived this far and we're continuing to innovate. There's nothing to suggest that we won't innovate beyond the heat death of the universe. But I really do wonder if we will ever be able to bridge that gap to artificial intelligence.
I think this music is going to bring us to a close. Yeah. That's probably a little bit loud for this. All right, and my battery's kind of halfway anyway, so that's good.
Well, there's something I've been meaning to tell you about the college on the edge of the town. No one should ever go there. You know it's bad, bad, bad. It gets worse every school year, but then the freaking teachers are rad. Yeah, yeah.
Show up occasionally as students. I kind of feel like they're bad attendees.
And what about the other characters in the Future Club studio? Those are pretty cool.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. We've been going back into all of Brad's stuff and bringing him into the style. So there's a lot of characters that you recognize.
Yeah, between the frames, there's the brain fuckler in places. So like, pay real close attention, but you'll find a hidden look. But yeah, all the characters from the old videos.
We have there's a lot of characters too.
Yeah. We have like 150 characters with names already.
Yeah.
Only 25, 30 characters at top. It's like really weird. Like, we're really growing this world out so that it's a Springfield. It's so much more fun to just make new things and new things and new things. But occasionally we'll be like, oh yeah, get that. Yeah. So mental note, future thoughts. You gotta get back to that. Thanks.
All right. Okay, I know for the Neely comics and for the first couple episodes of China, I know you like to mess around with music videos and short little songs. Do you have to be thinking about doing an album, turning some of those things into full-length songs?
That would be a lot of fun. But again, time is the bitch. I don't have time to do all the fun stuff. I'd love to do that, but awesome. This is a full-time gig right here.
But these are filled with a lot of your songs, too.
Yeah. We do. Yeah.
And old songs. Old songs are going to start making a presence.
Yeah.
Well, music, like that little bit of a... Any kind of music that isn't a score in China, Illinois, I made with Freddie at Titmouse. So that song that happened in that animal orgy, I made that. You know, so,
the weird thing, you come back and it's like that.
Right. So that's pretty much where I'm getting my musical outlet right now.
So any chance of releasing even those little snippets? Adultswim.com or something?
Hopefully they'll be available, but the way I think about that is they were made specifically to be paired with some imagery, and I think it's just weird to be driving around in a car listening to animal or this.
Thanks a lot.
I'm a horse's fuck the shit out of bears, threw a knife into heaven and could kill with a stare.
He made love like an eagle falling out of the sky, killed his sensei in a duel, and he never said why. Washington, Washington, 12 stories high, made of radiation. The present beware, the future beware. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming.
Did I mention his four nuts?
Well, he also had four dicks.
If you took off his boot, you'd see the dicks growing off his feet.
I heard that motherfucker had like 30 goddamn dicks.
He once held an opponent's wife's hand in a jar of acid at a party.